This is Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.
It's 426, Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. We're going to talk to Kian Fahey coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We were talking in the last hour that you're essentially going to go 3 years without a first-round draft pick. You traded out of the first round a year ago to get Chris Jones in the second round, who looked like a first-round talent. You trade up and select Patrick Mahomes in the first round, but what we're talking about here is playing with or without a first-round draft pick, and Patrick Mahomes, by all intents and purposes, is not going to play this next year. And then in year three, you traded away your 2018 first-round pick to go up and get Pat Mahomes. So it's a risky proposition, but if Patrick Mahomes becomes the guy that we all want him to, if he becomes that guy for Kansas City, then none of it will matter. You'll have been comfortable giving up five first-round draft picks if you've got a future franchise quarterback. But to play devil's advocate, what if, for instance, Mahomes doesn't turn out to be the guy that we're all hoping him to be? What if things don't click? What if he doesn't put it all together within a year or two? Then what? I mean, that's the same question I'm asking as in, well, what happens if Patrick Mahomes ends up being a bust, which is, I think, a very realistic scenario. Not that I necessarily think he will be, not that I'm projecting him to be, but I think it's important to kind of look at both sides of the coin when trying to not only evaluate what the Chiefs did in the draft, but how it's going to pay dividends for them in, you know, the next 5, 10, 15 years. It's 428 on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Kian Fahey, he is the author. He is the owner of Pre-Snap Reads, the quarterback catalog. You can check it out at presnapreads.com, and he joins us now on the program. Kian, a lot of people in Kansas City excited about the Patrick Mahomes pick. It doesn't sound like you're perhaps as big of a fan as not only Mahomes, but what the Chiefs had to give up to get him.
No, I'm not a big Mahomes guy, but that's kind of expected, because Mahomes' main selling point is that he's got a great arm and that he can throw the ball really hard, and that's never been one of the things I've prioritized. I find him, his footwork is a bit of a nightmare. He made too many bad decisions and he wasn't accurate enough in college, which obviously doesn't paint a picture of a good quarterback. You're hoping here that Andy Reid can set him up for success. And Andy Reid has done that with quarterbacks in the past and done very well doing that. So I do think he's going to have a shot. He's landed in the perfect place for him. But I'm just not someone who's optimistic about him. We'll find out eventually, of course.
What is the biggest knock against him? Like, what's perhaps his fatal flaw that you look at when analyzing the tape on Mahomes?
Well, he has to fix his feet, because even when he was in completely clean pockets, he would throw the ball as he was falling backwards, or he didn't have any balance beneath him, so he didn't have his weight behind his throw. And what would happen is the ball would float over his receiver's head, and it wouldn't matter that he has outstanding arm strength or he can make incredible throws, because if his feet aren't set, and if he's not balanced releasing the ball, that arm strength all gets negated, and it doesn't have any value because he's not controlling where the ball is going to go.
Now, when you were looking at not just Mahomes, but all of the quarterback prospects, whether it be Mitch Trubisky or I guess more importantly, Deshaun Watson, because he was the other name I know the Chiefs were pretty high on, you weren't a fan of really either of those quarterbacks, right? At least at the position in which they were drafted.
No, I like Trubisky. My concern with Trubisky is he's going to a team that's going to sit him, and he shouldn't be sitting. He needs to play to learn, because he didn't play that much in college, and I generally don't think quarterbacks should sit unless you've got footwork issues that can be corrected. But Trubisky's got poise, he's good decision-making, he reacts to pressure well, he keeps his eyes up, and he can throw the ball accurately. He's not going to gain anything from sitting for a year. He needs to play. So I do like Trubisky, I just don't really know what the Bears are doing, because they've already got Mike Glennon there, and they're talking about starting Mike Glennon. I wasn't a big Deshaun Watson fan. I think he's one of those guys who is ideal as a college quarterback, but isn't really going to translate well to the NFL. His deep accuracy is a major concern, and his decision-making, like, he threw a lot of interceptions in college, and it wasn't like he was in a bad situation, so he had to force the ball. It wasn't like he was unlucky. He was just making terrible reads and terrible throws over and over and over again. And if he does that in the NFL, it'll completely derail his whole offense. The concern for Watson, and this is where the Mahomes, the Kansas City one move looks a lot better, the concern for Watson is he's going to an offense and a head coach who doesn't work to the quarterback skill set. He's going to ask Watson to make difficult reads. He's going to ask him to manage the pocket. He's going to expect him to throw the ball into tight windows. And that's kind of a recipe for disaster, like it was with Brock Osweiler last year.
We're talking to Kian Fahey here on Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. I think that's an interesting point that you brought up, because just talking to people, both, you know, Kansas City fans and people in the media, they seem to be more intrigued with the Mahomes pick because of the fact that he's going to, quote, you know, sit and get to learn behind Alex Smith. He's going to get to learn under Andy Reid. But you seem to believe that it's better to throw these guys out there and learn on the field in real game situations.
Well, it might not be the case for Mahomes, because if you put Mahomes out there right now, his footwork probably isn't going to get fixed. I generally don't think quarterbacks' footwork can be fixed. Like, you look at Blake Bortles every single year. He talks about how he's got a new throwing motion, how he fixed his feet. And then by the middle of September, he's back to what he always was. But if you are going to get a quarterback to fix his feet, I think you need time. I think you need to keep him off the field, and you need to have him getting those repetitions over and over and over and over again. So if Mahomes gets a year of just concentrating on fixing that, that could work dividends for him. It could be huge moving forward. So, yeah, he's probably the one guy where I would say it's okay to sit him for a while. But generally, like, you want to see how your guy reacts to pressure. You want to see how he reacts to different situations. You want to see how he plays. And the only way you can do that is by putting him on the field.
What do you think the fit is there between Mahomes and Reid? Are you skeptical that Reid is the kind of guy who can fix Mahomes' issues?
I'm not really sure about fixing his issues, but the fit in terms of the offense is pretty good, because you've seen it with Alex Smith. Andy Reid is willing to use the mobility of his quarterback. That's not to say Mahomes is necessarily a running quarterback, but he is a guy who can move. He is a guy who will be elusive behind the line of scrimmage, even though he normally looks to throw the ball rather than run. So he will incorporate Mahomes' physical ability into the design of his running plays, into the design of his passing plays. You will be able to use him with a guy like Tyreek Hill. Probably not with Jeremy Maxson, he's at the other side of his career at this stage. But with a guy like Tyreek Hill and Spencer Ware, you'll be able to use all those misdirection plays that you can use with Alex Smith. So that should be a good marriage. But whether he can coach up his footwork, that's going to be more about the quarterback coaches there and how much Mahomes puts into it.
Well, when you're evaluating quarterbacks, when you're doing this pre-snap reads and you're looking at every single snap that they take, like, what kinds of things can be fixed when it comes to young quarterback prospects versus what kinds of things are just things that are never going to improve?
I'm not sure if you can necessarily say things will never improve. My general approach is that if you're 80% of where you need to be, I think it's very likely that you can get the next 10 or 20% and you can refine what you already do very well. That goes for accuracy, that goes for, probably doesn't go for arm strength, but it goes for footwork, it goes for movement in pocket, decision making. So those are the things, like, it kind of matters more not what you do, but how well you're already doing it, so how much you have to build and how much you have to get better. If there's one thing that you want to talk about, it's probably reading coverages and decision-making. We know all rookies struggle. They're more easily baited by defensive coordinators. They will misread coverages more often, and that's just natural because you're inexperienced. The more experience you get in that area, the better you become. But more experience doesn't necessarily make you more accurate or make you more capable of reacting to pressure well. So your hope is that experience comes with enough challenges but without ruining the confidence. So that's kind of the balancing act the teams have to try and manage.
With these sort of young quarterbacks, is there a window for improvement? Is that a facade? Like, is there a time frame for which you want to see these improvements happen before you kind of throw in the figurative towel?
I think once you get through about 26, 27, 28, 29 games, you've kind of figured out what your quarterback's going to be. So that's what, just under 2 years of regular season games. I think by the end of the second year, you've probably got what you've got. But you have to understand if he's playing continuously, because if he's moving in and out of the lineup, that's not going to help. Look at a guy like Geno Smith. He never really got a chance to just stay in the lineup and have the offense built around him with a quality supporting cast. So it all kind of matters, each situation individually. You have to take each situation as it is. But yeah, you can't really have a guy who's in his fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth year, and you can't really be talking about how he's going to get better at things, because then you end up talking yourself into a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick or someone like that, who's always been a subpar player.
Now that the Chiefs have already made their decision and gone with Mahomes, what's the best-case scenario for him in Kansas City?
Well, the best-case scenario is that his footwork gets better and his arm talent is refined in the way you want it to be refined, because He can make all these difficult throws and he can open the offense up a bit. He's very much the opposite of what Alex Smith is, because we all know that Alex Smith isn't going to be aggressive and push the ball downfield. Your hope for the identity of the offense moving forward is that it still builds around the running game, but Mahomes brings those big play potential. And he can push the ball down the field to Macklin and Tyreek Hill, and he can extend plays a little bit more than Smith without running into sacks and throwing the ball away. So that's your hope. That's the positive outcome. The negative option is that he comes in and just makes more mistakes, and that aggressive mentality is punished more than it is with Smith, because Smith is so careful.
He's Kian Fahey, pre-snap reads quarterback catalog. You can find it at presnapreads.com. Kian, for somebody who's not necessarily familiar with your work and what kind of comes with the pre-snap reads quarterback catalog, how would you describe it to somebody?
It's focused on isolating the quarterback from his supporting cast. So I try and find a way where I can account for if you've got good with wide receivers, if you've got bad wide receivers, if you've got an offensive line that gives up loads of pressure, if you've got an offensive line that doesn't give up any pressure. And I've created measurements. I also just talk about it and write about it in depth, where I can isolate the players, and so you can get a better idea of what the quarterback looks like compared to other quarterbacks outside of, or irrelevant of what the scheme he plays in or what supporting cast he has.
It seems like a lot of work, though. I mean, you're going through and you're looking at every single snap each quarterback takes. What made you want to take on this project a couple years ago?
Well, I've been writing about football for so long, and I've been writing about the NFL for so long. I always wanted to have a way to describe how I look at the game or how I evaluate. And 8 months, well, we did one last year. The debut of this book was done last year. But 8 months ago, at the start of the season, the 2016 season, I started charting then. I started putting all the information together over the last 8 months. And you will see, if you do buy the book, if you go and look at the book, you will see there is just a huge amount of information inside there. And it's from putting all that work in over the months and watching every single play. And it's tiring and boring to do, but you get this thing at the very end that's just fantastic.
When you're going through and doing this and for the 2016 season, was there one guy who, after you had collected all the data, you kind of looked at it and you were surprised by either how well he performed or how poorly he performed?
I'm not sure about that, but I think there are kind of guys who aren't getting their fair due. I think there's a lot of talk about Carson Palmer being passed or being done, when that's not really true. He struggled a little bit more than he did the season previous, when he kind of looked like an MVP candidate. But a lot of his issues last year were there was injuries on the offensive line, so he couldn't get any time in the pocket, and his wide receivers were dropping passes that they hadn't dropped in the past. Like he had J.J. Nelson playing in basically a starter's role, and Nelson would repeatedly drop deep passes on him. And if you add those plays back into his performance, his numbers suddenly look a lot more like they did the year before, and his offense looks just as efficient as the year before. So I think we're kind of talking about his decline too much or too quickly.
He's Kian Fahey, pre-snap reads quarterback catalog. You can buy it on presnapreads.com as an ebook. I got it last year. It helps you if you don't know what you're talking about, like I don't. It helps you sound a little bit smarter when you want to talk NFL and quarterbacks. Appreciate you taking a few minutes to hop on with me, Kian.
Thanks, man.
All right, that's Kian Fahey. I'm Nick Schwert. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN. Fun conversation, because it's kind of hard to find somebody who didn't like the Patrick Mahomes pick, and it's not that he's saying that he didn't like it, but what he is saying is that he's a little bit more skeptical about the types of improvements that Mahomes is going to be able to make at the next level.
But that makes sense, right? From a guy who's coming in from the outside to be more skeptical of Mahomes, because I think if we were all being fair here as Chiefs fans, we would be probably skeptical on a lot of those things that he brought up. But I think from the inner circle, what's different is it just comes from a pure joy of, oh my gosh, the Chiefs actually took a first-round quarterback for the first time in our lifetimes.
They actually
took that risk.
Man, they could have taken anybody. I'm starting to feel like they could have taken any quarterback prospect in the first round, and we would have said, you know what? At least they took someone.
I think so.
And it happens to be a guy that has a very sexy skill set. Like, if you're looking for a quarterback prospect, what's one thing that's really going to get you excited about him? Oh, he can throw the ball 80 yards?
Yeah.
Like, that's really nice, but if we're being realistic here, the fact that a guy can throw the ball 80 yards isn't really the most practical skill. It's more of a trick shot. It's a bar trick. I mean, Jamarcus Russell, I think he was on his knees at the 50-yard line, and he threw the ball through the uprights. And people go, wow, that's generational arm talent.
Right.
but it didn't result in literally any level of success at the next level. And I'm not comparing Mahomes to Russell. I'm just saying if that is the one skill set that gets you really fired up, you should probably start looking for other things that you're excited about with him, because you're not going to see that lead to a lot of wins, that skill isolated. You're going to have to couple it with a lot of other things that it takes to play quarterback at a high level.
I think part of the other joy of picking him, though, was the fact that he played in the Big 12, to where if you're a Kansas Jayhawks fan, if you're a Kansas State fan, you saw him play. Whereas if you would have picked Mitch Trubisky, or if you would have picked and saved Deshaun Watson, because everybody saw him play in the national championship,
right.
You would have picked Deshaun Kizer. I mean, how many people really saw him play in a week-out basis like they did with Mahomes?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is you can look at the numbers, 40 touchdowns to 10 interceptions, but a lot of those were situations in which he kind of just chucked the ball up. I mean, I was reading an article on presnapreads.com, which I would highly suggest checking out. I bought it last year for $20. Now, if you don't care about it, then, you know, whatever. But in this case, you know, for somebody, if we're sitting here talking about football all year long, like, yeah, it's a very useful tool to have to talk about these quarterbacks and see the kinds of deficiencies that they have in their game. But he was doing a video breakdown of Mahomes, and there were a lot of situations where he's got a clean pocket, and he just starts scrambling to one side or the other. And all of a sudden, he's putting himself in a situation that he didn't need to. Like, he's scrambling off to the side. Now he's got pressure. Now he's forcing a throw. Now he's got an interception. And it was all created by him making a poor decision to scramble outside of the pocket. The footwork stuff, I mean, what I understand about the footwork stuff, I don't claim to be a football guru or a quarterback guru, but it's just you see a lot of throws where he's throwing off his back foot, or he's throwing with his feet squared to the end zone, which doesn't make a lot of sense, but those are the kinds of things you can get away with when you've got a great arm. But those are also the kinds of things that you won't be able to get away with in the NFL.
But we talk about that, and like Brett Favre made an entire career of doing that. He threw a lot of dumb interceptions, but he also won a Super Bowl. He won, what, two MVPs? At least one. And he made a bunch of incredible throws. So I don't think necessarily, because that is, quote-unquote, something to work
on.
Right,
but we can name Brett Favre,
right.
And then you can name every other guy that's been compared
to
Brett Favre since then who's
flamed
out.
That's what I'm getting to. It's like how we look back at past national champions or past Super Bowl champions or whatever sport you want to look at and say, yeah, but this team did it like this. It's the same as if we want to say, the Chiefs can win a Super Bowl with Alex Smith because, hey, the Ravens did it with Trent Dilfer. It's the same thing. We like to pinpoint different guys, and yes, that might be something that kills him, but it also might be something that turns him into a star. It could go either way.
He's Derek Johnson. I'm Nick Schwartz. Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 101.7 and 1320 KLWN.